In 3, 2, 1.
If you're looking for some game-changing ideas on how to scale your business, enhance your entrepreneurial mindset, and unlock new levels of growth and success, you're going to enjoy my conversation with author, speaker, and coach, Chad Jenkins. Chad is someone who not only talks the talk, but walks the walk in the realms of technology, innovation, and transformative entrepreneurship. In this episode, Chad will share his blueprint for revolutionizing your approach to entrepreneurship and how to make monumental leaps in your business journey. Join me now for my conversation with Chad Jenkins. Well, hi, Chad. Welcome to the program. We're delighted to have you.
Michael, such an honor, and I'm excited for today.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I had a chance to read your book. You are the CEO of SeedSpark, a growth consulting company, and I believe you're based in Charlotte, right?
That is correct. Yeah, down here in the Southeast, which it seems becoming quite popular these days. I read a couple years ago that 80% of the migration of the population of the U.S. is headed to the Southeast for the next 10 years, so it's getting a little thick in certain places.
But we had that Arizona, the same thing. Everybody's coming in from the coast and moving into where it's a little more affordable. But Charlotte, just a beautiful place. And you're also an author of a very interesting book, Just Add a Zero, which we're going to talk about and get into it. Yep. But hey, before we get here, let's give a little background. How did Chad Jenkins get to be Chad Jenkins? Where did you start from?
I started in a small town in South Carolina where I joke that time moves backwards. So throughout the interview, you'll pick up on pretty quick. I vibrate at just a little bit of a different frequency, but I grew up on a farm. Right. So I am bush hogging pastures, manually digging post holes, and I'm putting a barbed wire fence. And my mind is twisting at a rate in which is not very farm friendly. So I felt a little bit like a fish out of water. And it made me think a whole lot on what in the world can I do to elevate to somewhere that I feel like I was more destined to be. But it all started there. And there's one famous quote that I reference now that I actually started using somewhere around the time I was 8. And it is, do what you can with what you have, where you are. Even back then, and at early thoughts, I'd say, oh, if I can get here, I will, then I will, or afterwards, I will. Wrong answer. You must do what you can with what you have, where you are. And I did come to that realization at a pretty young age, but it's all centered around value creation. So being on a farm, what do you have access to? Well, I had farm equipment. I had skills because I was trained to ride horses before I could walk. And those were some of my very first collaborative business that I started at a very early age. And I'll continue doing the same thing, even as the call just before now, leveraging the resources that you have at your immediate fingertips and trying to make sure you understand them in their authentic expression, not specifically whatever the label is on the outside of the jar or the box. A lot of times folks, and certainly in my world, they talk about out-of-the-box thinking. And I have a little thing to that. But be careful. Don't turn around and look back at the label, because the folks will start to get outside, but then they'll turn around and look back at what it's called or what that division in their company currently produces. And you asked about the journey a long time ago. I definitely figured out that do your very best to peel back the onion and understand what is immediately at your fingertips, because everything that you need, you actually already have. The power of relationships, the power of collaboration. All of these are examples that you can leverage after you peel back the onion and look at what it is that you already have at your fingertips that could be combined to create more value.
And you talk about that in your book. You give that formula in your book as well to start looking at, hey, look at what you have, look at your resource, look at your relationships. And you're right, they're already there and people just don't look at those things. Now, so you're a serial entrepreneur. You've had a number of different businesses. And I kind of want to work backwards because you evolved into a subject matter at SeedSpark and the story behind maybe the inception of SeedSpark and what made you go that direction. Because there's lots of different businesses you could have. I know you started in the horse business. I think you were age 21 and you had a number of different businesses. And it's funny because your experiences is what drives those new changes. As you were saying that, I was thinking for me, I milked cows. I had 300 cows. I used to milk twice a day. And boy, that kept me in college. And I thought, man, I'm not doing this thing, but and figuring it out. And, you know, I'll tell you a quick story because I think it's appropriate because I think it fits into it. You know, I used to milk these 300 cows and we used to line them up and they wrap their tails around their face and in the feeders. It was dark. And one day I had a sheep herder come to me, an Italian guy, and he goes, you're working way too hard. He goes, animals have a pecking order. He said, find the lead cow, and you would know this with horses. You get them on a trail ride, number 5 horse goes in front of number 4 horse. They start nipping at each other until you get back in line. Same thing with cows. So he said, watch the herd and find the lead cow. So I go get the lead cows, spray painted their ears orange so I could find them again when it was dark. And there was 2 of them. I just lined them up, and the rest of the cows all just lined up. And it was like magic. And so when I started my career as a business, you know, I went out to the marketplace and nobody wanted to buy from, they're all going, well, who have you worked for? Nobody. Yeah. Go get some experience and then we'll come back and we'll look at you. So I identified a list of 10 lead cow companies, Pepsi, AT&T, Bell Labs, all these big companies, right? And I went to them, I said, look, hire me for free. I got a new program, hire me for free. If you like what I do, give me a reference. That's my payment. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 hired me back for real money. Pepsi was the only company that didn't, so drink Coke. But that lead cow theory works, and it works for entrepreneurs and business owners and everything else, because it guides you into the area you're directing. So the animal world teaches us a lot about what we can do. And I think there's a direct relationship between that and human nature, don't you?
So much. Today, we'll use a lot of verbal words. And if you're watching, physically watching, then you can see our non-verbal communication that's happening. Being back on that farm and thinking, man, why am I here? I felt more like I should have been dropped in the middle of Manhattan at birth. I wouldn't take anything for the learning because I was around horses all the time. They're pretty much non-verbal, but good gracious that they communicate. Because of that foundation of understanding, and you bring up the lead cow, what a great thing to impart it upon others, just as a strategy that can be deployed in business the same exact way that I would also be around horses and they didn't speak any, but boy, they were communicating like crazy. So are all the folks that I'm in and around in business. They will use verbal words to share a concept or a lot of times share a complaint. But if you're intrigued to dig deeper behind what is the meaning of the words that they use, not the convention of it, but what drove them to use them in that sequence, well, you can figure out so much. And as well, what I figured out a long time ago, God did give us 4 inputs. And 1 output. So I won't be able to do it today because this is an interview, but in my normal life, I absolutely try to use them proportionally. Do 4 times more listening than I do speaking. And it's proven very beneficial for me. It's going to take a little bit, if you're not accustomed to this, to peeling back the onion, to look at your resources for what they actually could be, not for what somebody classifies them. And the classification can be driven by your industry or the convention in your industry. That's going to take a little bit. Therefore, leverage 4 inputs, 1 output. That's been very helpful for me along my journey.
What were the 4 inputs?
2 eyes, 2 ears.
Gotcha.
1 mouth.
Use it in that ratio. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, excellent. Mm-hmm. No, very smart. Well, now you chose a subject matter and you obviously explored different things in your journey, but we tend to gravitate to the things that we love or that speak to us or resonate with us, right?
Sure.
What resonated with you? So you built your company from the very beginning to help support entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial growth, and then you brought the lessons you learned from your own businesses to bear here and how to do that and function. So building that company from the ground up, because a lot of our listeners are doing that, they're building organizations, they have big organizations, it comes with its own set of challenges and learning curves. Can you walk us through 1 or 2 of those maybe pivotal challenges you faced in the early days of Seed Spark and then maybe how you overcame them or navigated them?
Yeah, sure. So around the time I was 18, 19, 20, I graduated high school 1 year early and I was already in multiple businesses. One was an agricultural store and I began to add products along the way, basically creating what is conventionally known today as a tractor supply. But this is a Purina store, very widely known, of course. And then I got into horse trailer business and the utility trailer business and I became the largest pedal and gate distributor of the Southeast. And this guy came along wanting to sell me Nextel telephones. And I can understand the impact, and this is going to get to the rudimentary understanding or fundamental understanding of make it easy for people to do business with you is the foundation of a lot of this. So I was beginning to notice commonality in each one of the businesses I'd started, and they were all fundamentally that, as well as leveraging all the resources I had at my fingertip to create more value. But then I kept digging back in deeper, and I've used it even in our conversation today. It's all about value creation. I have one quote. I have this thing called true wisdom I keep in my Apple Notes, which if anything ever happens to me, try to get to my Apple Notes, it is my Skunk Works. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm dumping stuff in Apple Notes. The shared folders where other people take action, thank goodness, but that's where it all happens. But I keep this true wisdom in there. And the very first one is, of course, along our journey, certainly if you're intentional about it, you're going to grab things along your journey that you feel are wisdom. The one that is most important to me is the very top one. And it is nothing matters but someone's future and how you're going to help them get to that future. So I use that in those businesses. When you're talking about something that's really pivotal, it's getting back to the center and understanding exactly what it is that you uniquely do to create value, and then keeping that communication specifically around that subject matter only. So oftentimes we get pulled horizontally in things that are new and shiny in our businesses. And we begin to follow that path because why? Because we think the market's moving that way. I'm like, yeah, hold up. you might consider focusing a lot on what makes you very uniquely qualified to create the value that you do, and then just exploit it. You had mentioned earlier, there's been quite a few businesses, and I think at last count is just over 50. Every one of those, specific to what I do now in the organization Seed Spark. Seed Spark stands for Seed the Opportunity, Spark Growth. It's been that all the way through every one of these businesses. Understanding where I was uniquely qualified in that organization to create value and focusing only on that value creation and trying to not chase the shiny objects that come along, whether it be a horse feed store, mobile telephone, software development, cybersecurity, real estate, multifamily development, all of those. It's all been about making it easier for people to do business with you, leverage all the resources that you have at your fingertips, and center everything around the value creation and just constantly focus on those. So it's not so much that there was a big pivot point as much as it was just a realization of what was happening naturally and then being very intentional of leveraging it in everything that you do. Small businesses are starting and big businesses that are certainly maybe even enterprise-sized businesses, what's the value that they're creating that transcends all those different growth cycles? Because you're right, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, 50 million. Those are hard to break through. And then some of those get a little easier and longer. But if you keep centering yourself in the value creation, I've seen it in empowering to pierce through those next ceiling of complexity and just pour gas on your enterprise.
That makes sense. So you're removing the friction and then you're doing an inventory of your capabilities. And then what's that unique ability that we have? That makes us, right? And then how can we exploit those opportunities? And I like that with the whole value creation. I call it creating distinctive value. How do you make your value unique, rare, and precious? And you have it for a period of time, right? Like you might create something unique, and then all of a sudden, if it's really good, a competitor is going to come off and do it cheaper, faster, better than you did. And unless you're staying ahead of that. So it's eating your lunch and continually innovating it right before the competition does. In your book, in chapter one of your book, you call it seeing through the film and about taking the eyes out and then taking a look at that. Unpack that a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, no problem. So I have a concept that is now coined remove the film. So if you think about the last time you bought a phone or you bought a car and there's film over your GPS or even on your iPhone, you have to peel that film off. When you do, of course, what's up under it is very vibrant, very exciting, of course. If you think about in business, when I coined the term remove the film and the concept specifically around the word film, it stands for me for friction identification, leverage, the market. And frictions to me are very easy to pick up on in business. I'm looking for trends of those frictions, commonality, and then the answer of yes to a few of the questions that I'll ask as we unpack this. The frictions, you think about your drive in this morning. Just imagine that left the house or you're heading to the gym, the phone rings and or you get a text message, more likely a text message or Slack message today. And it's somebody who has a little bit of dismay about something that's happening with operations or a supplier or the market or interest rates or fill in the blank. Those, a lot of times, are complaints as they're perceived. I envision those as opportunities. And as I mentioned, I'm looking for commonality. So removing the film starts first with understanding those frictions, which are delivered as complaints, and then asking a few questions. Well, of course, they're engaging you because most oftentimes, certainly in our positions, they want help with resolving. A long, long time ago, I began to ask, if I resolve this for this organization, it might be the organization that I own, is it only going to help this organization? Or if I resolve it, does it help organizations that look like this one? Are they the same size? Are they in the same geography? Do they have the same client or hero targets language that we're probably both familiar with? And if I get a yes, I begin to ask more questions. If I resolve this, is it going to help organizations that look like this in the same geography? But then does it extend beyond and everyone who's in the same industry? Or does it extend beyond and everyone who's on the same continent? And if I got yes, 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 the old conventional me would create a business and began to offer that value creation, maybe to the organization that I own. Oh, wait, I have my first client, by the way. This is a new entity, of course, because I've validated that if I create this solve, if I find a way to create this value, I've already validated depth of market. And I'm able to start out with my first client. So that has been empowering to me. The remove the film strategy I use in all things, including personally, even in family. You're going to hear these complaints. The way that we react to those complaints is completely our choice and ultimately our decision to take the action that we take. I can share with you in many, many businesses I've created that have grown exponentially, have not taken me a ton of cash to fund. I've never gone out and got money to start a business. It's just not a convention that I was aware of. But if I focus on the friction and I figure out the value creation opportunity, validate the market through the leveraging of the market, the back half of film, it immediately can take off and I have no competitors because everyone else is running to the left. And I'm like, hold up, the cheese is over here on the other side, right? So just go over here and the world is your oyster landscape. You don't have compression of your margins and you don't have a lot of competition and you have a message that you're actually solving the need that you validated that many people have. So that's an excellent strategy I even still use on a daily basis.
This episode is sponsored in part by Rainmaker Digital Solutions, featuring ActiveCampaign. Looking to drive growth with customer experience automation? ActiveCampaign, the number one marketing automation platform for e-commerce, B2C and B2B companies, gives you the email marketing, marketing automation, and CRM tools you need to create incredible customer experiences. ActiveCampaign is the platform we use to reach, nurture, convert, and grow our business, and you can use it to grow yours. You can see why 150,000 plus businesses like yours choose ActiveCampaign to help them grow and become preferred in the markets they serve. You can also start your free trial by visiting our website and clicking on the ActiveCampaign trial link. As a bonus, we'll also give you a digital copy of my book, Becoming Preferred, How to Outsell the Competition. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am a shareholder in the company. And now back to my conversation with Chad Jenkins.
How do you identify that unique ability, that capability that you have? And I know when you work with entrepreneurial companies, it's probably a question that gets asked of you a lot. Like, I don't know, what do I have? Like, how do I find it? But everyone does have that unique capability, whether it can be monetized or not, or turned into a business is a different matter, I think. But how do you encourage them, or how do you help them identify that? How can we identify our capabilities that we can actually turn into potential business opportunities?
So in identifying those frictions and unpacking the opportunity to create the value, I would encourage you to look in the middle. So you ask your unique ability, what do people say? And what's the question? The question often is saying, how did you see that? And I would argue it's very easy for me to see. There's two things. One, I'm always looking in the middle. When I talked about earlier, the people that would say something and you're listening with the four inputs and only one output, you're using proportionally. It's not so much the words that are being said. It's what's in between the words that are being said. So even in that complaint, i.e. the friction that I envision is absolutely the opportunity, I'm trying to dig just a little bit deeper of why is this happening and what is it benefiting so that when I do solve it, I'm also looking at the adverse of that. If I'm solving over here, it's not going to have the impact that it's having. Most people are not going to do that. It's, oh, the printer's not working. Great. Let's call somebody to get the printer working. It's like, whoa. What do we need to print for? Dig a little bit deeper, create more value than just solve whatever it is. And in doing so, you may create a business that has automation of producing those reports that's tied in with multiple backend systems that instead of engaging administrative staff to print the reports and accounting or financial staff to produce the actual reports before they become physical, you can just automate the whole thing. How many organizations are doing that on a monthly basis? You got a decent depth of market. But if we just fix the printer, we're leaving a lot of opportunity on the table.
So you look for the friction, what's not working, and then we look at opportunities. Do you find, though, as an entrepreneur and as a serial entrepreneur, you talked about chasing shiny objects. It's easy to get distracted sometimes because it's kind of like, let's say you were going to go buy you're thinking about buying a Ford F-150. And you're thinking about it and you kind of like black. So you're thinking, I think I'd like a black Ford F-150. And all of a sudden you start seeing black Ford F-150s everywhere.
No, yes.
Everywhere you go, you're focused on that. It kind of cuts through the noise. Is that the same for you when it comes to business opportunities? Because you're so focused on the middle, you see the middle. In other words, what we focus on, you see it everywhere. In other words, people ask me, are there still opportunities? And I say, I see a new way to make $1 million every week.
Absolutely.
And maybe it's not every week, but maybe it's every other week. But I literally do. It's when do you have the energy to put into it? What gets your mojo going, right? Like, do you find as kind of a, once you get that mindset where you're focused on those things, that you just see opportunity constantly?
Constantly. Yes. Focusing on the middle. And it's the connection between the two. So I'm a huge collaboration guy. And I think it's an art in business that's just been completely put on the shelf. Focusing on the middle. And I define collaboration as the unique value that is created by understanding the authentic expression of people, places, and things. Well, to do that, you're absolutely focused on the middle. So what's impressed upon me or introduced to me is this complaint that I look at as an opportunity, and I challenge myself to say, okay, what are the facts? Like, truly, what are the facts? It's your no labels, as I mentioned earlier. You're digging a little bit deeper to understand what is the authentic expression of person, place, or thing? What are the real, real facts here? And whenever you get to that level, at least in my experience, you begin to see the immediate attraction that is between those two people, place, or things. That whenever they are attracted to each other, it creates this unique value. Well, that unique value, people will pay you a lot of money for. And to your point, they're not looking at that. They're more, oh, this type of business, it operates this type of way, and we have this much cost of goods, and this should be our overheads. Why? Because that's the best practice. And we all know what best practice is, right? Average. That's what it is. So it's a great starting place.
Yep.
It is not the destination. To me, there is no destination. Better is infinite. So however we're doing it today, and you mentioned that a little bit earlier in the conversation, there's a journey. And whenever you begin to create that unique value, and you are the one, there is no other competition currently, somebody's watching. You have the me's out there.
Right.
That are watching saying, that's awesome. But what if you combine this with that? So I am constantly looking for it. I have this methodology or this concept that I empower others with, and it's bi-directional collaboration.
Right.
If you would consider the person that you want to be a hero to is walking down the street, and this is their growth journey, whatever it is that you do, you're in the center, right, along that growth journey. You have the opportunity to combine, if you peel back the onion, what that hero target is doing as they're walking. Before they engage with you, they're doing something with a person, place, or thing. And whenever they get done with that person, place, or thing, you're the logical next step. But just the same proves true with you if you're focused on those you want to be hero to. Whenever it is, whatever you do, you've done it the best that you can to and for your hero target. They inevitably always take a very similar 1 to 3 actions. So if you would like to exponentially grow, you may consider, and I mentioned it previous, make it easier for people to do business with you. And that just fundamental rule. Well, if I'm combine my efforts with whoever comes after me, and I'm really attentive and I understand who comes before me, before my hero target makes a decision to do business with me, then I can create competitive advantage for all of us. And I can make it easier for my hero target to do business with us. Well, heck, if I'm doing that, I'm probably reducing my cost of goods. I've removed competition and my margins are a little better. What you're able to also find that if you take that approach, again, fundamentally, I started with friction, right? This was an issue and I'm just looking to my left and to my right, or what comes before me and what comes after me. And I'm entering collaboration with those guys to increase my value that I'm able to deliver to that hero target. There are instances where the industry or the market begins to listen to you and they don't want to buy 3 individual things anymore. They want to buy one thing. You truly can transform in industries by doing things of that nature, all starting with friction identification and leverage the market.
Yeah. No, you got me even thinking when, you know, reading your book and going through, and that model on bi-directional collaborations in your resource section on your website, you're very generous with the model. Yeah. And it makes sense. You look at it and it just, I went, are you kidding me? And why haven't I considered this before? And so I've actually set up a series of meetings with people who are better than I am at certain things, but would add to my particular product mix. You know, the analogy, yes, I would give people at this would be, you got Hershey's chocolate kisses, you know, $1.99 a bag. Good value if you like Hershey's kisses. Then you got pretzels for $1.99 a bag, you know, the pretzels, but you got Hershey's chocolate covered pretzels, you get $4.99 a bag. And so there's your collaboration example. You bring, what can I add to this that makes that and makes, yes, that better? And does that solve a problem? So find the problem, look for the middle, who does what you do, but at a greater level, as, yeah, in your model, and then who does what you do in a lesser model. And then after us, who do our targets, client, who do they engage with after us?
Who they engage with.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. So great yeah, insight. Do you see common problems, mm-hmm, with entrepreneurs? Because we've got people who are doing side gigs, they want to start their business. Do you see common mistakes, if you will, or challenges, mm-hmm, that they all seem to go through? Like, you start with, yeah, in your book, we talk about why and embracing the why, right? You call it pursue the why. You know, Simon Sinek said, start with why. We have, yes, to pursue, indeed, because it's the why. Is that a good place to start?
It's a great place to start. I'm a huge Simon Sinek fan specifically. Start with why. I used to take it in the sauna. And of course, it's not really good to take books in the sauna. They begin to become
apart. They get mushy. Yeah, they do.
This thing looks very raggedy. I wouldn't take anything for it though. And not. But pursue the why for me is always, I'm in search of why. Why is this happening? What makes it happen? How can I control it? Because if I want to dictate the outcome, I first have to pursue the why. That's a really good question though. There's a commonality, certainly in starting out in small to medium sized businesses, it's the focus on financial management, I think, that trips up so many. It does cost money. And though your wife, or maybe your wife, has those skills, and who am I to judge that? Of course, it might be the best person. But so oftentimes they pick a family member or somebody who used to work in bookkeeping. It's like, whoa, you're setting up your, it's going to be so expensive the second and third and fourth time that you do this as well. Not starting with collaboration, which already everyone who's listening to this is already in collaboration with a person, place, or thing. A friend of mine, Dean Jackson, came up with a concept, VCR. We all used to have one whenever we were much, much younger. Maybe not everybody who's listening, but a lion's share of us. It's not really what I'm talking about. I'm just using it as an anchor. So VCR, vision, capability, and reach. You're using those today in your business. Are you using them intentionally or are you just using them naturally? So I use this VCR method to help empower others to understand how they're already leveraging collaboration. And hopefully when you combine it with just add a zero, that methodology, asking them how in the world they're going to exponentially grow. And I don't mean 10 or 20 or 30%, exponentially grow, starting with collaboration and understanding that I can't do it all myself, which we try to do when we're really starting out. You are the hustler. You're everything at once. I would strongly encourage you to leverage someone to make sure that you are taking a very, very concerted effort with your financial management and do your very best to explore the opportunity of collaborations. And some may say, well, I don't have any money. I'm thinking about leaving. I'm starting to create a little bit of money, but I need this website and I need this and I need that. And all those things are taking away from potentially financial management. And I would say, hold up. You may consider one other very key concept, and that's future money. For those of us who are listening to the podcast today, and you're a big visionary, you literally can see it. And for the ones that know what I'm talking about, you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can see it just like you can see the back of your eyelids. So it's very vibrant, colorful, and rich. You can even describe how it feels. There's a lot that can't do that. And as a person who's super qualified in operational management, it could be one of those things that you really, really need to take your business to the next level. And I would say under the concept of do what you can with what you have where you are, if you're a big visionary, then leverage that vision. But you may consider this vision, understanding the outcome of this future money and leveraging that future money. There's a concept I was introduced to a long time ago, and it's wealthy people don't trade time for money. Then why do we use that when we're starting out businesses? I would love for you to create me a proposal. I have no idea really what you do. I just know in theory, I would just use one as low hanging fruit. I just need this website. No, you don't really need a website. What you need is what a website produces. But if you go to the best website guy on the planet, you ask him to do you a proposal. He's going to give you a bunch of bullet points. It's probably a template, by the way. And when you agree to the fee, they're going to create what? Those bullet points. But if you would consider the future money that's going to manifest or be reality whenever you create this outcome, if you have the best website guy on the planet, I don't want to put him in confines of what bullet points are on his proposal. I would absolutely much rather collaborate with him on future money so that when this outcome is produced, everyone wins. He's not beholden to the conventional margin. So I see a lot of times in small businesses, certainly guys who are starting out, and one would even argue up to 5, 10, 15, and sometimes 20 million, depending on the type of industry, large part depending on the type of industry, they're not leveraging collaboration. They're trying to do it all themselves, and they're not taking a very conservative approach to make sure they understand their numbers. So sometimes they're making money and they don't know why, and sometimes they're losing money and they're killing themselves and don't know why. It's too easy to rid yourself of that pain, and that's just extending your runway to success. Like, leverage the capabilities that you have around you. There's somebody, I promise, better to do many of the things that you need to help grow your business. You don't have to be the guy, but focus on your unique ability of what makes you tick first. And then you can find the folks around you that can really help you exponentially grow and partner them at future money.
Yeah. Those collaboration partners are probably looking for you. So if you find a piece where they're missing you, they would benefit you. It works both ways, doesn't it? So
it does work both ways. Yes, it is a true collaboration.
Yeah. Right. So you make that. When I think of collaboration, I just watched a movie, documentary with Michael Jordan and Nike, with that whole acquisition of Nike, and talk about a collaboration, you know, in years of doing things, but there's good collaboration. We see it with musicians. We see it with all kinds of activities. It's about creating something more from the individual parts. And that's part of your curiosity section in that. Let's talk about, in part three, you talk about the clarity, and the book is Just Add a Zero. And you talk about what adding a zero means. And then you also talk about adding a zero on both ends.
I do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Explain that as well. So what's adding a zero in the first place?
Yeah, no problem. So driven by curiosity, a long, long time ago, around that age of 8, I figured out what my father made, at least a rough order of magnitude annually. And just the way my brain works, I did the reverse math and break it down to numbers that I could pretty much get my arms around. And I got to a number, it's like, oh, that's not too bad. So I added a zero to it. And then you extrapolate that number back out to the annual, that was a little bit overwhelming. But what I realized in just that small, seemingly normal exercise is that when I extrapolated that back out and got to the big number, which is an annual number, it was a way different number, and it made me think differently. So making sure that you don't take things for the gospel, you're not just convention. A really simple strategy is, hey, just add a zero to it. And the point that you made earlier, you could add it to the front of the back, is a really good one. There's oftentimes, I work with organizations and they've got six producers in their sales and marketing organization that are doing really, really well. They have three or four that are not really cutting the mustard. And they're, well, we kind of need to trim these back, or we need to take other strategies. And we come to the decision that we're going to get rid of one. I'm like, did you ask yourself what it would look like to get rid of 10? Because you could have put the zero on the front where they thought they were going to get rid of one, but no, let's push it down. Let's go down to one. Actually, how can we create the same amount of revenue or even hit our targets with one that we are currently, with 10 that we really think six are actually cutting the mustard? We don't ask ourselves those hard questions. And when I say hard, they're not so much hard. They just feel hard at face value. We're not asking them. Why? Because it's not the way they're doing it down the street. And it's not what I heard at the conference. I'm like, get out of here with that noise. Just add a zero, put it at the front and take it from 10 down to one and say, well, how the heck are we going to do that? And there's a lot of power in the word unless as well. So I try to focus on things that our brain does naturally. When I added that zero long, long ago, my brain naturally, first and foremost, said, oh, there's no way that you can ever do that. And I was like, that's not 100% true. I want to use the power of this word unless. And when I used unless, my brain did exactly what it would do. And it told me all the things that would have to be true for this in the middle to be false. And for what I originally sought and what I was looking for, adding a zero to the front or back, well, here's the path in which you can make this become a reality. I would have never have done that if I didn't first ask myself the questions. And I don't mean questions that are how we're going to grow by 20%. And no, how are we going to 4X this thing next year? I'm going to do it with 50% less people. Not because I want to get rid of 50% of the people. I don't want to do that. But if I can do it four times with 50% less people, what can I do with the 100% going all the way back to what I said with the resources that I have at my current fingertips? It's helping you remove the film, which is going to create the outcome that you've always been seeking. And most oftentimes, a much larger outcome than you ever thought was possible. And you have it all inside of you.
Yeah, well, it's what to add and what to take away, right? So it's really simple, because sometimes you gain more by simplifying. I know a lot of companies, and I know, I'm sure you see this, they have a ton of SKUs, but they get 80% of the revenue from just one or two of them. But there's tons of issues and things, but by just getting rid of and offloading that, we can take that one thing, that core capability, and just build upon it and make it. So it's really seeing that. What blocks entrepreneurs? Do they just fall in love with their own stuff too much and they don't have that third party look? Like, I think one of the values that you and your organization bring to the table is we all have blind spots. And what your group and your partners do, I know in your teams, is go in and identify and illuminate those blind spots. So we have clarity around the direction we want to go. And then what's needed at that moment with our resources. And, you know, that's why I think it's chapter 6 of your book where you talk about the formula, curiosity. So, hey, how can I do this? Where do I want to go? What's my capability? What's the network connections? What do I have in my inventory for all three of those things? And that equals our collaboration or where we're going to head. And so, you know, very, very powerful, simple tools, but very powerful tools. And simple, but not easy. And
very true.
But it makes sense. It's very clear. Do you find that entrepreneurs just get blinded sometimes by things? And what can you do to take those blinders off? Remove the film.
Yeah. My lovely young daughters, I take them to school quite often, and they have to hear part of my shenanigans. And I ask them quite often, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because they're at a time in which their lives are changing. And of course, their groups of friends are also changing. They're growing up. They're having other interests. And I say, if you'll take one step back and look in your immediate friend group, the conversations that you're hearing is shaping the way that you interpret, is shaping your behavior, is shaping your reality, and it ends up becoming part of your personality. So I would strongly encourage you not to do the same thing every day, to be careful on being in the same friend group. Always be striving to reach further and bigger. Somebody on this planet is doing something 100 times bigger than I've ever done before. What happens if I have a conversation with that guy versus having a conversation with everybody that I did yesterday or last week or last time I went to the association show? I understand now that our brains have 65 to 90,000 thoughts a day. 90% of them are the same thoughts that we had yesterday. So what do you think is going to happen tomorrow if you continued that? I do some crazy little things. I get out of the bed on the different side of the bed. I learned this from, I think it's a book, Limitless by Jim Quick, which is awesome. It helped me learn how to speed read, but I brush with my alternate hand all the time. I'm constantly on a daily basis. What am I going to do different today? Because I understand whenever you do things differently, it makes new connections and wiring in your brain. Remembering is leveraging them over and over. So I'm constantly challenging myself with what I'm physically doing, how I'm working out or how I'm traveling or what experiences I'm having or what and who are the people I'm surrounded with. And I do my very best to try to help everyone that I come in contact with, because why? I learn. And I don't get inside of these blinders of how other people are doing it in my industry, or maybe the, for me, it's an industry that hasn't even been created yet, is one thing I'm working on a lion's share now. But be careful of the conventions that exist in the industry or the groups that you're in, because if you continue to hear the same thing, you will be the same thing.
So it's looking for opportunities to disrupt where it's appropriate.
Evolve.
Yeah, evolve. Sure.
I like evolve. Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, that's a good way to do it. And then and come out with different things. Hey, Chad, this is just, we could spend hours and hours on this. I think you have lots of value. The book's called Just Add a Zero, Remove the Film, Outperform Your Competition, and Grow Exponentially Through Collaboration. And I know one of your greatest joys in life and pleasures is making business a joy rather than just a job, so people get to enjoy it. And I know you love to work with people who get the Add a Zero vision that you have, but might need assistance in finding the right kind of collaboration, not locking those doors. So from a coaching point of view, from a looking at what's possible, we'd encourage them to reach out to you. And we'll have all of your contact information in your show notes. So I got to ask you, because I know you've done lots of things. And like I say, your material is done in such a simple way. It's easy to understand. It's easy to grasp. And it makes sense. What's our superpower? So if Chad had a superpower, something maybe we don't know about you or your listeners don't know about you, and you can brag here. That's, I know what you're good at, but what are you amazing at that maybe we don't know? What's your real superpower?
So my real superpower is to hear everything everyone else hears and to see what no one else sees. So that it just, when I mentioned the connection between the two things, I relentlessly focus on it and I see them. It's like a light bulb coming off and being turned on when you walk into a room, just evaluating and seeing what if this was combined with that. I know they're very abstract, actually. This would never go with that. And hold up, if this did go with that, wow, no one's doing that at all. So that is absolutely a superpower. I do it over and over and over. And it's very natural. These tools that I create, and even the conversations, including the podcast, I'm hoping to empower others just to see a little bit of the glimpse of what seems to be natural for me so they can incorporate it as well in what they're doing today, which is a ton of fun. It's overly rewarding. The comments I get back of when folks implement the strategies or apply the concepts, you should see some of the comment that's lights out. When it talks about in the book, remove your competition, name your own price, it's available for everybody who's listening today. Ask some good questions and see what's in the middle.
And well, what a great superpower to cultivate. And I know it, once you start to see it and focus on it, just gets, you get those 10,000 hours, you really develop mastery when to see that. And that's why people can, they'll find your book. You can find it wherever the books are found and get your favorite book. So we know the superpowers. Is there any kryptonite? What's Chad's kryptonite? What's the thing?
Complacency.
Complacency.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I mentioned earlier, my internal wiring is better is infinite. If you're happy where you are, and you probably not a good thing to reach out to me, because I'm going to see ways that you could be 10 times bigger and have 10 times the impact. And we'll probably do that in the first couple of minutes of the first conversation. If not, I look for things that are trajectory pivots. And I feel like it is absolutely my responsibility that when I'm engaged with someone, I'm looking for the ways to create value for them that immediately deliver a trajectory pivot. So if you think about your own timeline, for sure. But when you meet people with a lot of intentionality, you should feel it. If they're operating their unique ability, the first time you meet them, you should feel it as palpable that there has been a trajectory pivot into your own life.
Trajectory pivot. Love it. Great terms. Chad, this was a pleasure. Thanks for joining us as our guest today. Lots of great insights, lots of good value bombs there for us to employ. And we'll encourage everybody to check out your website and some of the resources that you provide. Thanks for being with us.
Awesome. Thanks very much, Mike. I really enjoyed it.
This podcast is created and associated with Summit Media. My executive producer is Beth Smith and director of research, Tori Smith. The fee for the show is that you share it with friends when you find something useful or interesting. This podcast is subject to copyright by Summit Media.
Goodbye.